Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, coming off of a wonderful Lose It for Life weekend in Washington, D.C. Tell you all about that. Got Henry Cloud and Jill Hubbard on with me today. It's going to be a great program. You can join us at 1-800-229-3000 because this is a great day for New Life. Come be part of it. 1-800-229-3000.
Thank you very much. You guys are quite entertaining and interesting and helpful.
You have a great ministry. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Yeah, that does help.
That did not sound convincing.
Okay, yeah.
Captain Obvious here. Okay, thank you. All right.
And are they big enablers, or are they concerned?
Oh, terrible. His mom still pays for everything, and he's 38 years old.
Excuse me?
His mother still pays for everything, and he's 38 years old.
That's what I thought you said.
Well, I think he can heal every sick person who wants healing.
Right, but sometimes he just doesn't.
Sometimes he does it through dying.
Right, I guess.
And welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining us today in the studio will be two fabulous, fun-filled, wonderful people, Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hello there in Laguna Beach. I'm in Anderson, Indiana, at WQME. How are you guys doing?
Hello, Steve.
Hey,
Stevie. We're doing well.
Very good. Well, I got to tell you something. I had the greatest weekend at our Lose It for Life in Washington, D.C., And I got to tell you, it seemed like to me the most earth-shattering moment came when everybody realized that they could throw away half their food, that they had purchased the food, they owned the food, that if they didn't eat half of it, that no child was going to go hungry as a result of them not eating it, that no child would be full if they did eat it. It seemed like that was a major revelation, and I'm so excited that people left there believing it was honoring of God to throw half your food away. Life-changing stuff.
Yeah, you're right. What a revelation.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, we get those messages when we're young, don't we?
Well,
and
we do.
We tend to live by them.
Yeah. And the other thing is that people that have struggled with weight for so long never stop to think that it might have an emotional connection, or something that happened at age 15 might still be fueling the weight problem now. And I we saw some people clear some stuff up. And so if you're ever interested in Lose It for Life, you can find out about it at newlife.com. But Henry, I know you were at Women of Faith. I was on the tweet line there and saw that. How did that go for you?
You know what? It's just such a great, great group of women that gather in every city. And Steve, I know you've been there a lot, and having founded it, and it's one of those places where you know you do a lot of things, and every now and then all the different parts come together.
Yeah.
So you know, there's the God part and the growth part, and just the community of women who are out there doing great things part of it, and it's just a really, really cool thing. We'll be in Hartford, Connecticut this week, and so anybody out there near that land, show up.
Hartford, Connecticut. Well, I got to tell you, Henry will be there on Friday, and I heard you speak at Women of Faith, and I've never heard you better, ever better. You were so good, so on, so connecting, and I hope that people will, while you're still doing it, that they'll get out there and hear you, because now, are you speaking next year?
No, they
okay.
are.
So this is it.
Yeah, they're doing a little format change next year. They're
yeah.
going. I think they're going to Saturdays only.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's
all right. So if you are interested, Women of Faith, just look at womenoffaith.com. But we're going to be here in the studio today. Three solid, fabulous, fun-filled, wisdom-saturated hours. And we'd love for you to join us at 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number here in the studio. You know, we made it. We're here. We made our August financial numbers there. And sometime in the program, I'll talk to you about how many Club New Life people we need so that we never get in that trouble again. There is a number that could keep us out of trouble forever. And we'll talk about that.
Is that also October, Steve?
That's October. Did I say November?
You said August.
August? Really? Well, I had a mind cloud,
okay.
I guess.
Okay.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. We're going to go right to our telephones, 1-800-229-3000, if you'd like to join us. If you wouldn't like to join us, well, hey, are you in denial? Are you struggling? Do you have the heartbreak of psoriasis? What is it that's preventing you from reaching out? Get on that phone, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Tony from Columbia, Missouri, KMFC. Hello, Tony.
Hello.
How can we help you?
In 2006, I was in the military. I'm retired now. But I was activated, went away for about a year and a half. During that time, basically, my then wife became involved in someone else, and I walked home and walked into a divorce.
Mm.
Since then, I've had just like one struggle after another with just a whole lot of things. From 2008 to present, I have lost my dad, my mom, my best friend. I lost my job, and just really under a lot of pressure right now. So what my question is I feel like I'm ready for a relationship, though God has not brought someone into my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I have this, well, it's a longing for a relationship.
Sure.
And although I think I'm ready, do I wait on God to just deliver this woman into my life? Do I look for this person or what?
No, just walk around with your head down, and she will bump right into you. Right? That doesn't sound too good, does it?
No.
We really believe here that it's probably good to put some effort into one of the most important decisions of your life. Henry, you want to talk about that?
Can I just ask a quick question? Tony, I'm curious how your friendships are doing. You've had a lot of loss. And it would make sense that you would be longing for some closeness. How are your friendships with other men? I mean, who do you have in your life?
I have some good friends through my church. I'm involved actually in two men's groups at my church. I'm involved on the drama team at my church. And
cool.
Okay, yeah.
Very cool.
And are the men's groups the kind that get together and slap each other on the back and ride Harleys and avoid talking about anything that they might cry about? Are these places where you guys are really supported by each other in some of the darker parts of your soul?
Yeah, they're very supportive. And actually, one of my groups is actually a men's accountability group so that I can maintain my sexual integrity. I've had some struggles with pornography since the divorce, but by the grace of God, I'm doing very well in that area now. But it's just I have this loneliness, and I have a 15-year-old son. I have joint custody of him, and I get him every other week. And of course, being a teenager, that's its own set of struggles. But I'm just going, do I stay in my church and just hope that, okay, the woman that God has for me, if he indeed has one for me, is going to show up in this church, or how do I proceed?
Well, you... I don't know why you called us, but we've spent a lot of effort on this problem. Steve and I've written on it extensively, and it's been sort of an area of focus for us. But before I get mm-hmm. to that, Tony, I want to ask you a couple of things. One is you're in a couple of men's groups. I would want for you. Let's just say I'm just going to pretend I'm going to give you a dating strategy, okay? Let's pretend this has nothing to do with healing or your well-being, and I'm going to say the best way to go find the right woman for you would be before you find her, that I would want you to be connected to some women as well as men and have some women in your life that are supportive sisters that you are not going to get romantically involved with, because we need male and female love. And we need male and female input, and we need male and female support. That's part of the body functioning of Christ. And so do you have any of those in your life anywhere that there's no possibility that you get romantically involved with?
I have a couple of them.
You do?
Uh-huh. A couple of women. One, she actually used to be she was my ex-wife's best friend.
Do you have any that aren't that complicated?
Yes. Really?
And then there's another one who actually is retired military as well, and they both go to my church, and they both have been very supportive.
Okay. Well, I would want that for you for a number of reasons. And then the second question I was going to ask you pre-dating was, what have you done to work through the issues? I'm going to just, you know, pretend that something went wrong in your relationship with your wife, and let's say that you're totally innocent. What you're not innocent of, though, is having a good people picker, because you picked somebody that did this to you. And so have you sorted out some of the dynamics that would cause you to be drawn and attracted to somebody who could end up hurting you like this?
Well, you know, and I'll be honest, I mean, before we were married, neither one of us were Christians. I became a believer back in like 2002, and it was like 6 months after that. Well, she went through the motions of giving her life to Christ. But, then with this tour of duty that I had, you know, I came back to that, and all she was saying is, I tried to be the good little Christian wife, but that's just not me. So a big part of the divorce, I think.
Does that mean like the normal non-Christian wife would go cheat on her husband who's off fighting a war? I mean, that's not even a Christian.
Even non-Christians have values.
Exactly.
Really?
That sounds like a character issue to me, apart from the spiritual side of it.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I would agree with that. It's just neither one of us were Christians at the time that we were married. And when I came to Christ, you know, I knew that that was the right way to go, and then she followed suit about 6 months later, but obviously her heart wasn't really in it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think what we would be interested in is for you to have a lens that gets focused on being able to recognize a woman's character, the kind that's not narcissistic, that's not dependent, that doesn't need to be fueled by a man to be okay on the planet, that doesn't run off to somebody else if her needs aren't getting met, all those kinds of things. Those are character issues. Yeah. So I would want you to be kind of sorting some of that out about what, you know, what maybe the blind spots are and just seeing her character, apart from whether or not she was a Christian.
Yeah, and
okay, and let us, we don't have all the time in the world, but let us get us down the road and say that you did that. Then, in answer of your question, my suggestion would be that you would find a couple or one really good Christian dating site that you would go on, that you would make a sign and put it around your neck saying, I'm ready to date. And no, don't do that. But you do need to put the word out that you're ready when you are ready, when you've done the work.
And the feet on the pavement.
Feet on the pavement, going to places, doing things, meeting people, saying hello to the women that bump into you, and just, you know, being open and not flirtatious and not pushy, but just be there. So, yeah, I think you've got some effort that you need to put into it. And if you go to a little church and there's a big church with a big singles group, I'd probably go visit that singles group a couple of times, see how you like it.
Yeah, and what I would add to that, Tony, is one of the biggest, I'm sorry to call it myths. It's really a theological problem that's been taught to the Christian single world out there, is that you just sit and wait for God to bring this person to you. That there's nothing in the Bible that that talks about any area of life that is like that. And why teachers do this to Christian singles, I have no idea. The Bible has a created order where God secures things for us. He secures a promised land, and then he says, you know, you guys have got to, Joshua and everybody else, go out there and possess it. And you got to fight the battles, and you got to go after it. And in Matthew 6, he says that he feeds the birds of the air, and he's going to provide for them. But you don't see the birds who sit in the nest waiting for the mosquitoes to show up on a platter saying, here's lunch.
So you have to go where the fish are.
You got to go where the fish are. And that's always part of God's created order in his provision. And it's just so sad that Christians have been taught something that the Bible never says, A, and B, it doesn't apply to any area of life. Other than that, you wouldn't say look for a job that way, just go sit at home, the phone's going to ring. You wouldn't say look for a church that way. You wouldn't say build community that way. But for some reason, in finding a mate, this is what gets put on people. And it's just very, very sad. In fact, that's why I wrote a book about it.
So you have to be proactive.
Yeah. You have to be proactive. And trust God.
Very good name, proactive. You become a pro the more active you get. Okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm glad you called us.
We'll send you a copy. I wrote a book called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, and it's about the whole theology of this as well as the practical steps. And then Steve would probably want to send you one, too, because he's written extensively about
I'm just going to send him on that people-picking thing, Walking Into Walls, and I hope that will be a blessing to you there, Tony. We're really glad that you called.
And thank you for your service to our country.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Well, one of the people that we love working with around here at New Life is Becky Brown. She's on the line. Becky's in charge of Club New Life. She was at the Lose It for Life weekend. And Becky, I think you've got some things you can read for us that will give us a flavor. Is that right?
Yes, I do. I'm looking at a couple of the surveys and just have had some great responses for those that attended Lose It for Life this weekend.
Well, let's hear what they said.
One in particular says, this event has been eye-opening. While every session was powerful, what resonated most for me is the connection between unresolved emotion, obsession, and compulsion.
Mm.
And she says, don't second-guess yourself, just go to it. When you get here, be willing to be open and transparent. You'll be unburdened and lightened right away.
All right. Give us another one.
And one of our makeovers, we had, she responded, I had great expectations. I feel like no one out there focuses on the physical, mental, spiritual part of losing weight.
Right.
And she learned that my work never stops. It will be easy sometimes and hard others, but not necessarily the next step or the first step. Just keep doing it.
Yeah, one of the things we talk about is Pinocchio parenting, and if you're parents were like Pinocchio and lied to you, they said, oh, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's just what's on the inside. Hey, that's God that only cares about the inside, but we all care about the outside, and God cares about the outside too, because it says if any part of your body is a hindrance to your service to God, you need to take care of that. All right, Becky, give us another one.
All right, well, and then this one says, I have struggled with my weight my entire life. Went on my first diet when I was 8 years old. But what she went on to say is, I don't want to live unconsciously, marking the days passing by with another binge to avoid engaging with God, others, and myself. I want to start taking as good a care of myself as I do of others, because that is the next right thing to do. And she encourages those who are considering Lose It for Life, do it. It's so good to discover that many others are struggling in the same way. And be prepared to work on your issues in a safe place with safe people. And remember how you have searched for the path you're created to walk.
Mm.
So, she closes that survey by saying, our stories are different, yet certain threads in the fabric of each of our lives have the same hue. No wonder we're able to listen and encourage each other. What a concept. If God's able to get through the highly defended walls I have built, God can do the same and more for you.
All right. Thank you, Becky. Thank you for sharing that. Thanks for all the hard work that you do. Now, these are the things that happen at a New Life event. Lives are changed radically. And the next one is this Friday. It's Every Man's Battle, November the 11th. Every Man's Battle. And if you've got someone in your life that needs to do something about their life because of pornography, lust, unfaithfulness, well, we've got something. It's Every Man's Battle. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. 1-800-639-5433. You call that number. Say, I don't know if I can afford it, but tell me all about it. And we'll tell you. But you need to get there if you've got a problem. Your life will be forever different. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Different and better. It's in Atlanta, by the way.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married? The ideal husband? The amazing dad? The great lover? But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Let's go to Mary from Clarksville, Maryland, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Steve. How are you? Hi, Jill. Hi, Henry. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you, and I really appreciate you taking my phone call.
Thanks for joining. I actually called
several weeks ago to ask you a question. I was going to therapy with my husband of 28 years, and he had said he didn't want to continue. And I had asked you what your recommendation was. I was afraid to go, and you guys suggested I go. I did go, and it was amazing. I kept my mouth shut, and it turned out my husband was struggling with his decision. But unfortunately, several weeks later, he decided he wanted a divorce. And basically, he said he was tired of feeling bad about himself. He wanted to stop going to therapy. So my therapist said that basically he had a mirror put in front of him, and he chose to look away and go down the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
My question is, at this point, I've worked so hard. I have spent 20 months throwing myself into therapy. I went to a New Life weekend. I'm in a small group. I've prayed like I've never prayed before, and I'm tired.
Yeah.
And he wants to still do things around the house. But at this point, I feel like I need a break from him. I don't want to see him. I don't want to look at him. I don't want to see emails from him. And yet I know, Steve, that you have said that we should do everything we can to save a marriage. But his last email to me was, I think he was angry because I had spoken to him last Monday and I had said, please don't give up on us. And
Mary?
Wait, you had said that, Mary?
Yes.
You Mary. Had said, don't give up on us. Okay.
Mary.
And
Mary.
He texted
Mary.
Me, yes.
Sometimes doing everything we can to save the marriage or make it work means we don't let him around the house anymore.
Okay.
We don't let him feel like, oh man, you know, everything's going to be just like it used to be. All the good parts of this I get to take advantage of. And now that I've declared divorce, there'll be no conflict because she wants me back. So you get what I'm saying, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it could be not a very good decision let him hang out and do the stuff he likes to do around the house.
I don't know if he feels like he likes to. I think he feels obligated. And
well, whether he does
so
or not, relieve him of that obligation or that ability to deal with a little bit of guilt there. Make him live with his guilt.
Okay. His last email to me, he said that he had reconnected with the girl that he had left me for originally, and they spoke
there you
on the
go.
Phone.
Well, don't you appreciate him letting you know?
Excuse me?
Wasn't that nice of him to share?
I know. I feel like, I'll tell you, that broke something inside me.
Good.
Well, Mary, he wants you as his best friend. Or as his mom, or, you know, as a safe home base.
Well, it sounds like another thing he wants her as is kind of like a repository for mm-hmm. all of the bad stuff. So
yeah.
if he can kind of like you make you perhaps the conflict one, then it makes the rest of the world look pretty good. Like all the conflict has to do with Mary. And so that's why when Steve is saying, you know, don't get pulled into the games and the arguments and the texts and all this kind of stuff. Say, look, I want our marriage, and the only way that's going to work is if the two of us get in with somebody. If you didn't like that counselor, we'll get another one. Mm-hmm. Get in with somebody and work it out. If you're not going to work it out, then I can't be continuing to play these games.
And also, he didn't say to you, oh, by the way, you know, I know we've done this counseling thing, and I said I didn't want to do it, but I've connected with my old friend Buck, who we always talked about important things, and I think he's really going to help me through this time. See, it wasn't a man that he turned to at this particular time.
No.
He's not even out of your door yet, and he's reconnecting. So God bless him. Things are not going to go well here, and I think you need to take care of yourself through this.
Well, everybody says take care of yourself. I'm not really sure what that means.
Okay,
anymore.
So Mary, if he's choosing divorce and that's not what you want, then he doesn't get to play marriage while divorcing.
There you go.
Okay, you have to feel the impact of your choice, and that means divorce means there's a separation. There's a breaking.
We've been separated for 20 months.
Right, but he still can come over and email you and talk to you. He has full access to you.
Well, on top of that, my daughter just got engaged. And I can't imagine planning a wedding and getting divorced at the same year. I'm so overwhelmed with that.
But wait, before we get into that, Jill said can't have access to, or it would not be helpful.
It needs to be different. But I'm also hearing, you know, it's hard to embrace divorce, you know, when you're the one who doesn't want it, right? So it's almost like if we can kind of put it off and not act like we're divorced, maybe it won't really happen.
Well, he did say that he didn't want to be the man who got the divorce. He said, why couldn't we just be separated?
why can't we be separated and I'll date other people?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So that I'll feel good, right?
Well, I know that his problem is that it's all about appearances for him. And then he also told me in therapy, when my therapist asked, he said he preferred to be superficial than real.
Okay.
And that's what he's been.
Now, do you care what we say?
I do care. That's why I called.
Okay, okay.
But I guess what I'm saying is, what do I send him?
What do you send him?
Yeah, well, how do I respond to his email?
Nothing.
Okay, well, respond to him in the way that I said respond to him is one alternative. Say, look, I've told you I want our marriage. And the way to do that is for us to go and talk to a counselor together, because when we talk on our own, it doesn't do well. We're not getting anywhere. And B, you said you didn't want it anyway. So if you do, then let's go back to counseling. That's one alternative.
But if you're choosing to date other people, then you're not choosing to be with me.
then we are going to be officially separated.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Hey, for all of you up north, I'm going to be speaking on the 18th at Promise Keepers Canada in Mississauga. So if you're a Canadian or you like to go to Canada, come join me. It's going to be a great, great event. They are really doing a good job with Promise Keepers in Canada. All right, Mary, now you said you wanted to listen to what we were saying, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what are we saying?
To let him go is what I'm hearing you say, to not make it easy for him to feel good about himself.
Yeah, I would correct that.
Yeah, I'd correct that too.
Yeah. So go ahead, Henry. You can correct it.
Mary, what I was saying is take a stance that there doesn't involve Velcro. You know, to take a stance and say, look, I've told you what I want. I want to resolve our marriage. I want to be together. And there's a path to that. The path is we get with somebody good. If you don't like the last counselor, we find another one. We get with somebody good, and we talk about where we're headed. And that's what I want you to do. And that's the only way that I'll really communicate with you, okay? If we have to communicate with the kids, then we ought to do it with a counselor as well to figure out how we're going to co-parent. But if you don't want to get with that program and you want to be separated, then I'm getting an attorney, and then that's the way we'll figure out how to communicate through that. Or if you want to be divorced, I think is what he said. So
he wants a divorce.
Right. So, all I'm saying is he can't want to be divorced and, like Jill says, want to play Mary too.
Want to be your buddy still.
I don't think he wants to be my buddy. I think he wants to feel good about himself, so he's going to still do stuff around the house.
But he's sharing with you about
whatever
dating.
You call that.
Yeah, I think he did that because he said, "Why don't you hear me? I told you I want to get a divorce. You don't seem to. You're not listening."
Then with that, then the only communication you have is on logistical matters and financial matters and divorce, and you email, right? But you minimize the contact. I mean, when you have kids, I realize you can't have zero contact.
No, it's this wedding that's coming up.
Right. But you don't get into relational, emotional issues.
And you don't let him play.
I think he told me what he told me to hurt me, to completely sever any hopes I had. I think that's why he told me that.
Okay. Well, let me just be really simple, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Quit letting him putter around the house. How's that?
Or text or email.
We think that is your best hope of ever getting him back.
Yeah. Have him pay for a handyman.
Because guess what?
Okay, that's what you know what, Jill? That's exactly what I need to do. I'm going to tell him that he needs to hire people to work.
He needs to hire people. It's too hard for you. If he doesn't want to be married, then it's too hard having you around the house.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you really want him to feel the impact of his decision.
Yeah, but then that's not going to help if you guys are talking about the handyman. You're talking about what all needs to be done, this, that, and the other. You say if you want to help around the house, here's the amount of money that I need to take care of the house. Send me that. I'll find my own handyman.
How much money does he give you a month to do stuff like that with?
He gives me $600 a month. I mean, no. He gives me $1,200 a month to live on.
Oh, my goodness.
And
I hope you work.
I have to supplement it.
Okay, well, that's why he doesn't want to get a divorce, see, because most likely divorce court, they're going to give you more than that.
Oh, I know. I mean, we've been married a long time. I've had breast cancer twice. I mean, he abandoned me. I know those. I went to a lawyer in the very beginning to see what my rights were. But really what I needed to know was how to respond to this email, and I think you guys have answered my question, and I appreciate that because I just needed to know. Because, Steve, I keep hearing in my head what you've said, do everything you can to not get divorced.
Then hear the next part of that I said on this call, and sometimes doing everything you can is not letting him putter around the house.
Right, and I think you're right.
Email?
Yeah. Excuse me?
You said respond to the email. What is the email?
He said, can I come over to finish working in the kitchen and do the yard work?
No.
Okay. Okay, good.
No, send me some money.
I also wanted to know if I could tell him that I wanted to know if I could tell him how my feelings were, that I just needed a break from him. Should I just be more simple than that and say hi or somebody?
No,
you're really not hearing
us. You need to call a girlfriend and tell your girlfriend. Get a group of women around you and tell them.
I have a lot of them, actually.
Stop sharing your feelings with him.
Okay. All right.
Okay?
Great.
He's not acting like your husband.
You're right. He's not.
So don't treat him that way.
Okay. Thank you. That's what I needed to hear.
Okay. I'm going to send you a copy of what would be a good book, Henry?
Don't Be Walking the Walls. I've read it, and it's very good, Steve.
Thank you very much. Henry, what do you want to send her?
I want to send her to a good group of a bunch of women that'll hold her accountable.
We need boundaries in divorce, Henry. When's that book coming out?
Boundaries will speak to that. Let's send her boundaries.
Okay. We'll send that to you. Oh, man. I tell you, I feel so bad. You know, and the thing is, we know this, that when you are passive in a situation like this, you cease to exist in the other person's mind as a full-functioning viable human being. You're just the ex, and it's not good. So
yeah, well, and I think she made a good point about how as Christians we do get hung up on certain points,
right,
where we cling to that in under the idea of being a good Christian and doing all we can to honor God. Sometimes we then dishonor the situation and don't handle it correctly.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's go over here to Lisa from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, WORD. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help you today?
Well, I need some help with boundaries with my husband. We've only been married 2.5 years. With my husband's father and my husband's 20-year-old son.
Okay, what's the boundary issue?
Well, the 20-year-old son quit high school and spent some time in juvenile detention center, had his license taken away. He doesn't work, doesn't do anything, but demand money from people because he feels this sense of entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
Has
he gotten money from people?
I'm sorry?
Has he gotten money from people?
Has it worked for him?
Oh, my, yes.
Okay, well, then he comes by that feeling naturally, right?
Absolutely. My husband's father freely gives him anything he wants, always. Rides to certain places at in unimaginable times of the night, gives him money when he wants it, and then the boy will call my husband, his father, and want money from him, and then my husband will say, well, I can't just give you money, and then the boy goes crazy and yells and screams at him and swears and calls him all kinds of names. And then my husband's father will call him and say, how come you didn't give him what he wanted? And
wow.
And my husband doesn't say anything to his father because he doesn't want to disrespect his father.
Yeah, he sounds like a sandwich. He's getting beat up from both generations on either side of him.
Oh, yes, he is. And I don't know what my role is, if I even have one. I mean, should I take my hands off of the situation?
Let me just say, one principle is that it is not respecting your father when you continue to allow him to act like an idiot. That's kind of disrespectful, I think. That's kind of saying my father has no capacity to be anything other than a very destructive old man when it comes to my son. So just going along with him, I don't think that should be the plan. I think he should at least attempt some other approach.
Well, and parents, aren't parents supposed to back off and then allow their children to become parents?
Kind of like
the
way
God. But that's not how the family operates.
Apparently not.
And why can't your husband hear you when you say things to him? What's his pushback to you?
Well, his pushback is that's his son, and he wants to help his son any way that he can.
I want to say, when he says, that's my son, I want to say, okay, no one's questioning the parentage or the genetics of this boy. We're talking about how can we help him the most. And what we've been doing isn't working.
No, and then
Lisa,
his father...
Lisa,
he says
Lisa, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, there's not a lot we can do about your husband. There's not a lot we can do about your stepson. There's not a lot we can do about his grandfather. What we can do is ask Lisa, how is this affecting Lisa? And what does Lisa want to do about that? Because Lisa is the only person that Lisa has any influence over, it sounds like, in this situation. So over the break, I want you to think about what this has to do with you and how it's impacting you, and then we can talk about that.
Okay. Good move there, Henry. Really, really important. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back for the final segment here. We're going to be in the studio for a couple of hours after this at 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Come join us.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Well, we're back. I want to mention that, you know, we had such a great response last month. We had almost 1,000 first-time supporters come along. We need another 1,000 to do that. November has turned out to kind of be slow-vember, and we're about $20,000 behind already. I asked Mike for the numbers there. He gave them to me, $20,000 already. So come along. Maybe you could be one of the next 1,000 first-time givers. Help us. Then we don't end up in trouble. We get a couple of thousand more of our Club New Life members. Then we don't ever have to be desperate because we've got the foundation covered. That's what we want to have happen. So please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and tell us, okay, I want to be a supporter of this ministry. Let's go to Dorothy, San Francisco, California, KFAX.
Oh, except weren't we going back to Lisa?
And we were going to go back to Lisa. Uh-oh.
Yes, because we asked her a question to think about over the break.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Here she is. She's back. Hi, Lisa. Sorry about that.
Hi, that's okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, so we ask you a question.
Yes.
About how all of this affects you.
Yeah. That was Henry's challenge to you. Okay, so how does it affect you?
About anything, Lisa?
Yes, it makes me feel insecure with my husband. Like, is he, this is going to sound kind of funny, but is he an effective leader? Because he just seems to be so wishy-washy with these kinds of things.
Well, in these kinds of things, how does your husband's behavior affect you? What is he wishy-washy in relation to you? What are you talking about in these kinds of things? Like, how does it affect you and impact your life?
Well, it makes me feel like he can't stand up for what's important, and he can't be.
Okay, let me ask it again. What is he not standing up to in life that affects you directly?
His principles, Christian principles.
Give me a situation where you were being affected by his not standing up.
Well, we were at a repast for a funeral, and the son, his boy, was there badgering him for $300 to buy a car. And I personally didn't feel that that was the place for that conversation.
Okay, now stop. I'm going to stop you again, Lisa.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to be picky here, but what you keep doing is telling me evaluations of your husband, okay? Mm-hmm. How did this incident affect you?
Well, it kind of made me nervous. Like, can we talk about this another time?
Made you anxious.
Why? Yeah. Was it distracting from your attention to the grieving family? What was the problem? How did it affect you?
I really don't know what you mean by that. I mean, it made me anxious.
Okay, but what were you?
I wanted him to say to the boy, "We're not having this conversation now."
Yeah, but how did that affect you? In other words, Lisa, here's the problem. You keep looking at him and how he's behaving in this situation, and you're wanting him to do different stuff. And apparently it's making you anxious because you want him to do different stuff. But the cure to that would be to let him do whatever he's going to do with his son and with his father or whatever. It's not affecting you. However, if his son walks in and interrupts his funeral and you're unable to do what you're trying to do there with the grieving family, it's interrupting your relationships. Now we have a problem that's actionable. You can say to him, "I am trying to be with the family at a funeral, and your son is interrupting that and making it impossible, and I would like for you to be with me. Can you come be with me and send your son home? See, that's a specific request.
And it's her standing up for her
and
values.
It's about you. Mm-hmm. See, everything you're saying is about you're worried about your husband and how he's being with this, that, and the other. You can't do anything about that. And the best thing that you could do to change him would be to pull your hands off and let him be miserable with his father and son, and then he would have to do something about it. But I'm trying to get to a way in which it's affecting you other than your evaluation of him, which I totally understand, but mm-hmm. that's unfixable. What is fixable is a specific request that you can make to him to treat you in a different way, which is, would you pay attention to me and send your son home right now? You follow me?
Which is different than just expressing disappointment to your husband mm-hmm. or nagging your husband about not taking care of things. It's talking about you specifically, and you have permission to do that as an adult.
See, Lisa, I think the other is affecting your respect of your husband, and then that scares you. Okay? That scares you, because then the anxiety about the future of, will he be there for me? But Henry's wanting you to look at a specific situation where you can actually intervene, and it requires you not being passive and wishing him to be different, but actually voicing where it's getting in the way. Where is this behavior?
Do I have permission, as it were, to say something to his father or to his son?
I think you have to start with your husband.
Yeah, you're not
hearing this. You're not going to be able to fix them.
Yeah, we're trying to get you to let go of that whole thing. Okay. Unless it affects you in some way. If your husband, for example, disappears for 2 hours when you guys are supposed to be having dinner together.
Or spends all your money.
Or spends all your money or all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Now you have a Lisa problem that you're requesting different behavior out of your husband about. And then he'll have to go deal with his son or his father.
You know, like when he's in this passive emotional quandary with his son and his father, you know, is he then not available to you?
Mm.
And does it take a lot of time away from your marriage, the things that you two are working on?
Okay. All right. I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of Henry's book, Boundaries. I think it could really help. I'm going to send you something else. I was looking through this just yesterday. Changes That Heal, that Henry wrote. I think that could really, really help you here in all of this. Just a reminder of everybody, 1 Peter 4:1 says that we're not really finished with sin until we're willing to experience the pain that comes from the sacrifice to do the right thing. And it's a wonderful verse to look at, and talks about us reflecting and experiencing the same suffering that Jesus did. And until we're willing, we're not really done with whatever it is we're doing that's messing up our life. Now, also, this Friday, Every Man's Battle, if you or someone you know is struggling, we have the weekend for them. This weekend in Atlanta, please, please call us right now, and it could change your life forever. If you have the problem or you know someone that does, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that's 1-800-639-5433, okay? 1-800-639-5433, same number to find out about how you could register for Every Man's Battle and how you could support this ministry, all right there at the same number. We love you. We care about you. We want to be here for you. Come along. Join Club New Life. Come along and be one of those next 1,000 first-time givers. It makes all the difference in the world. All we want to do is be here to help transform lives, and we can't do it without you. So if God's leading, it's 1-800-NEWLIFE and newlife.com. We will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries,
P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.